How about if we get started on counseling those battling with shame? Let me just pray as we start. Lord, I think as we think about the topic of shame, I don't know that any of us would have escaped this topic, that because of our sin and our guilt, shame is often a heavy burden, and not just because of our sin and our guilt, but because of being splattered by the sins of others, or being part of a out of favor group, or not having the skills and talents that other people have. So, Lord, as we think about this, would you just allow it to impart all the hope that you want us to have on this? You say that those who look to you are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Lord, can we leave this session today just radiant? Because that's what you said you give to people, that we don't have to have faces covered with shame. You are so the best. We love you. Amen. Okay. As I begin this session, let me just say that I've really been helped by Ed Welch's book, Shame Interrupted. And most of what I cover today is going to be an outgrowth of just what he did. So I would encourage you, if you haven't read that book, it's worth the investment. Many in our culture are plagued by shame. Shame is stirred up in thousands of ways. The kid who didn't make the team, being overweight, the girl who was sexually abused, the wife whose husband divorced her, the person whose sin has been made public, the employee fired from their job, the disabled person ridiculed by those without the same disabilities, being noticeably different intellectually, ethnically, physically, socially, or financially, the team who lost the competition, anyone who looks or behaves differently than others, being scolded, ignored, or treated with disrespect, being unmarried or childless, being associated with someone considered to be dishonorable, like being the child of a prostitute or having a German or a Japanese heritage during World War II, belonging to a family of someone who's incarcerated. Ed Welch says shame is part of our human condition, and I think that's easy to see as we think of all the ways that people experience shame. Let's think about words that are associated with shame. What are some of the words that we use to describe shame? Embarrassment. Humiliated. Guilt. Yes. Dirty. Hide. Mm-hmm. I feel despicable. Unlovable. Good. Here's some of the words that I jotted down. Disgrace. Dishonor, dirty and unclean, you mentioned, unacceptable, an outcast, a failure, humiliated, you mentioned, exposed and naked, rejected, bad, worthless, a loser, disgusting, repulsive, contaminated, you mentioned, unlovable, ugly, wrong. And that's probably the short list. As we examine the scriptures, we see that not only is shame mentioned repeatedly, shame is a multifaceted concept. And I want to review some of those facets with you. First of all, let's look at shame that's tied to guilt. Shame that's tied to guilt. Guilt occurs whenever we violate the standard of God's word, either by not doing what he has instructed us to do or doing what he has instructed us not to do. Being guilty is our state of being or our status after committing an offense. Often, though far from always, guilt stirs up bad feelings. And we might say, I feel guilty because I caused that accident. Or I feel guilty because I didn't show up when I said I would. Guilt often comes with bad feelings, and I think we're able to use shame and guilty feelings as synonyms when we're talking about this facet of shame. We see an example of this in Psalm 38. Here, David describes how he felt after he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. David said, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." I think David is describing guilty feelings there. And we might think of that as shame. So shame may occur when I do wrong. That's one facet of shame. However, that's not the only facet of shame. Shame is bigger than guilty feelings. I may also experience shame not because of sin on my part, but because I somehow don't measure up, or because I'm different due to disabilities, being different, being childless or single, losing a game. I somehow don't measure up. For example, in Scripture, childlessness is often associated with shame. Now, in general, in Scripture, childlessness is not identified as being the result of sin. But nevertheless, those who are childless seem to experience shame. They're somehow not measuring up. In Luke 1:25, when Elizabeth gets pregnant, she exclaims, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people. No sin on her part, and yet she's been living with disgrace as a result of being childless. And now she's thrilled that she's pregnant. God has taken away her disgrace. So sometimes shame is aroused by being different, not measuring up. We can also experience shame when others sin against us and we are splattered with their dirtiness. We are dishonored because of them. Can you think of a scriptural example where that happened? Dinah, yep, when she was raped. Okay, I'm just going to tell you what I got in my notes. Tamar. So, 2 Samuel 13, but when she's taking food because he's acting like he's sick, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me, my sister." "No, my brother," she said to him, "don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You'd be like one of the wicked fools in Israel." But he refused to listen to her, and since he was stronger than she, he raped her. He sins. He sins, and she bears the shame. It may result from being associated with someone who is dishonored. Maybe racism, a family member who committed suicide. I think maybe we see this with the disciples in Acts 5:41, that the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of sufferings, disgrace for the name. They're associated with Christ and they suffer disgrace. So it may occur as a result of being associated with someone who's dishonored. So I'm going to define shame as a feeling of disgrace or dishonor. A feeling of disgrace or dishonor. Ed Welch helpfully elaborates by saying, shame is a deep sense that you are unacceptable because of something you did, something done to you, or something associated with you. You feel exposed and humiliated. Again, this dishonor and disgrace may result from something I've done, my own sin, from being different or not measuring up. It may result when others do dishonorable or disgraceful things and splatter their sin and disgrace all over me. It may result from being associated with someone who is dishonored. And again, whatever the cause, you feel disgraced, dishonored, dirty, unclean, unacceptable, an outcast, failure, humiliation, exposed and naked, rejected, bad, worthless, loser, disgusting, repulsive, contaminated, unlovable, ugly. Let's think about our responses to shame. What would you be inclined to do if you felt a deep sense that you were unacceptable because of something you did, something done to you, or something associated with you? What would you be inclined to do? Give me some input. Hide. Okay. That was the first one on my list. But I have a longer list. Be defensive. Lie. Avoid, withdraw, good. Isolate, blame shift, good. Very good. Medicate. Some of the others I have in my list are fear God's wrath, try to clean yourself up, make yourself presentable, plunge into despair, look around for some other ways to mask their feelings, medicate maybe. You might try to make yourself invisible